Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Shots ring out during a vigil at a local park, ending with a car in a pool. A witness describes the barrage of gunfire that injured at least one man.
And we are already tracking rain for your lunch hour. Luckily, this is light rain for now. I'll let you know when that could change coming up.
Plus, the U.S. Capitol is buzzing as former President Donald Trump prepares to face a federal judge for his third indictment. How lawmakers are reacting to the impending arraignment.
We're getting new information about a chaotic scene last night at what was supposed to be a peaceful balloon release for a shooting victim. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. That balloon release ended in gunfire with one person shot and a car in a recreation center swimming pool. This all played out just after 8 last night at Seabrook Park on Slater Avenue. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live after speaking with the father of the man who was murdered over the weekend. And Gilbert, that's why people were gathered at the park for a balloon release to honor that murder victim.
That's exactly right, Renee. I tell you, it is hard to imagine what happened out here with the crowd and those gunshots ringing out. The balloon release was happening at this basketball court here. It was actually renovated by a rapper, J. Cole, several years ago. But the video we want to show you is the car here, if we can show you, that ended up in the swimming pool over here. We have the actual video from the vehicle being in the car in the swimming pool last night. This is the Seabrook Park Recreation swimming pool. It's, as I mentioned, right next to the basketball court where dozens were gathered last night for the balloon release in memory of Lorenzo McLaughlin Jr. He's a 22-year-old who was shot and killed Saturday morning on Stanberry Street and Primrose Drive. Now, the 22-year-old Devontae McClain and his brother, 18-year-old Adrian, charged with the McLaughlin's murder. I spoke with McLaughlin's father this morning, and he and his wife were out here last night during the balloon release, and this is how he described what happened.
Right after they did the balloon release, we were all standing out there, you know, everybody talking. And then next thing you know, some guy starts waving a gun, and then he pulls out, jumps into some car, and they start shooting at the crowd.
Now, McLaughlin believes that the car that ended up in the swimming pool is actually the car that that individual man jumped into. He also believes the person that was shot was the person who put out the gun and started shooting at the crowd. Now, you can see out here, there are a number of cameras out here right next to the basketball area. So Fayetteville police probably have a lot of footage about what happened out here. And I'm sure they're combing through that right now to see what happened. We are working to confirm if what the father said about the car being in the pool and also the individual who was shot being the man who started all the shooting. We're working to confirm those allegations as fact. We don't have that yet, Renee. We're also trying to see what the condition of the man who was taken to the hospital is right now. Last word we got, he was in critical condition. But again, scary moments for a lot of folks who are out here at what was supposed to be a peaceful balloon release.
Yeah, scary and just unbelievable violence at a vigil to remember a victim of violence. Gilbert, thank you.
Might be a good idea to keep an umbrella handy today and tomorrow. Rain has already arrived for some of us, and the chance will continue into tomorrow. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joins us in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a check of the dual Doppler 5000 radar this lunch hour, Kat.
And we're already seeing some rain. Luckily, it's light rain, so it's going to be fairly low impact, but we've got the rain already in Chapel Hill. It's closing in on Durham at this hour, raining in Roxboro up into Oxford, seeing some of those showers, Carr Lake as well. We haven't seen the rain yet around Raleigh. We are going to watch this rain gradually push east, but I expect that our western counties will see a lot more rain today than our eastern counties. Still, with how light this rain is, it's really just not going to add up to much in your rain gauge. It's going to be some spotty showers on and off throughout the day, and you can see the rain just starting to reach Durham at this hour. If we take a look at future casts, those showers try to push east, but may fall apart to some degree as they do so. That's why I think our western counties really have the best chance of rain today. That's where the bulk of the lift in the atmosphere is to generate some of those showers. By 5 o'clock, you'll have a chance for some light rain during the commute. Although it looks like a lot of rain, it's going to be light, so I wouldn't expect a major impact to your evening commute, but you may need the windshield wipers on with some of these spotty showers moving through. We're not expecting thunderstorms today, but we could see some thunderstorms by tomorrow. Our best chance for rain tomorrow, actually during the morning commute and the first half of the day. We're not going to see as much on the radar during the afternoon, but what we do see could come in the form of thunderstorms tomorrow. That's going going to be the big difference. Otherwise, it stays cloudy and cool tomorrow. Just 79 degrees the high. We're running more than 10 degrees below normal for temperatures tomorrow. But temperatures will be rebounding this weekend. I'll have a closer look at your weekend and hour-by-hour timeline for rain on Futurecast tomorrow coming up.
I'm Brett Neese here in the WRAL Live Center. Just into the newsroom, U.S. Representative Dan Bishop is announcing that he is running for North Carolina's Attorney General. Take a look. This is a brand new into the newsroom. He is going to run for Attorney General here in North Carolina in the 2024 election. He told that to a Charlotte radio station today. He's poised to face former state legislator Tom Murray in the GOP primary. Democrat Josh Stein, he currently holds the position right now. He's not seeking re-election because Stein is running for governor. This is brand new here into the newsroom. We'll continue to follow this as more updates come in. Back to you.
Brett, thanks. In just a few hours, former President Donald Trump is scheduled to be arraigned on four federal charges related to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump now claims the case is all about politics for his upcoming presidential run. Drew Petromol shows us how the indictment is affecting voters and members of Trump's own party.
Barriers surround a courthouse in Washington, D.C., where former President Trump is set to be arraigned today in front of a federal judge. He's facing four felony counts for what prosecutors say were Trump's efforts to remain in power even after he lost the 2020 election to Joe Biden. Despite Trump's claims that the prosecution is a political hit, his former Vice President Mike Pence says Trump did pressure him to overturn the election.
And on that day, President Trump asked me to put him over the Constitution, but I chose the Constitution. And I always will.
After Pence refused, prosecutors say Trump used an angry mob assembled at the Capitol on January 6 to pressure Pence more directly. The indictment says Trump also led a scheme to overturn election results in seven states.
Pressuring Mike Pence, gathering false slates of electors, trying to weaponize the Justice Department by sending letters to legislatures suggesting they reconvene and substitute their own slates of electors. It's all of that conduct that is the gist of this case.
This is the third indictment for Trump, this one splitting candidates in the Republican primary.
But I believe each of these indictments, Brett, reek of politicization.
Donald Trump, for the good of the country, should drop out of the race.
Voters also weighing in.
If ever he has earned and deserved something, it's another indictment.
If he's on the ballot, my plan is to vote for him.
Trump remains the far and away leader in the Republican race and is using his legal troubles to rally supporters and rake in campaign cash.
The federal judge presiding over this case is Tanya Chutkan. She is an Obama appointee known for handing out tough prison sentences to people involved in the January 6 riot. Drew Petromo, NBC News, Washington.
And right now, this is a live look at the federal courthouse in D.C. where that arraignment will take place. It is set for 4 this afternoon. WRAL-TV will carry that arraignment live. You can get updates online at WRAL.com or on our WRAL News app.
You'll need an acceptable form of identification in order to vote this fall. Your driver's license, military ID, and many student and government IDs will fit the bill. And registered voters can now go to your county headquarters for a free ID. It will include your photo, name, and a registration number, and often can be issued on the spot. Appointments are not needed. County boards can issue these cards up until the last day of early voting. To see if you need one of these cards, please go to WRAL.com and search ID for the list of acceptable identifications. A new state law will make it harder for violent offenders to get bailed out of jail before their trials. The law goes into effect October 1st. It'll require them to meet a 2-day holding period before bonding out, and final decisions for release will go before a judge. Some say this will slow down the justice process and clog up local jails. Others argue it'll keep more repeat offenders in jail and off the streets.
Newly released documents show the boyfriend of a missing Moore County woman had a domestic violence protective order taken out against him 2 months ago. Police and family members say Alicia Watts had been dating James Dunmore for a year. The Durham woman who took out the order of protection claimed Dunmore repeatedly punched and choked her. Dunmore has previous convictions in the state of Virginia for assault, battery, and kidnapping in the early 2000s. He is considered a person of interest in Watts' disappearance. We're learning more about a shooting that left a man dead at a home in Fuquay Varina. Court documents reveal the suspect and the victim knew each other. This was the scene on Fieldcrest Lane. Investigators say 63-year-old Jeffrey Hoffman shot and killed Robert Barton Wednesday morning. Hoffman is charged with murder. According to first responders radio traffic, this was a situation involving a tenant and a landlord. In June, Hoffman and Barton were in court, and documents show Barton was accused of failing to pay rent of $500. That case was dismissed.
It's quite a sad situation happening at the Wake County Animal Center. These pets need your help. For the first time in 7 years, the shelter says it will begin euthanizing pets from the adoption floor due to lack of space. Just in the last week, the shelter received more than 200 surrendered cats and dogs. Employees say there's just no space left. 72 pets are already living with foster families. Right now, there are more than 100 dogs and nearly as many cats in desperate need of homes. This demonstrates why the Clear the Shelters campaign is so important. This is day three of our month-long effort. Each day, WREL will highlight a participating shelter in our area. Today's shelter spotlight is the Orange County Animal Services. To help get the shelters cleared, they are offering reduced adoption fees. Adoptions for cats and dogs over months old, so many months old, are just $25. Kittens and puppies are nearly half price at $60 and $80. And you can get all the information on Orange County Animal Services website. Keep in mind, there are so many other ways that you can help if adoption is not in your wheelhouse right now. It's not suitable. Find your shelter. Find our shelter wish list, including items they need and volunteer opportunities, by going to WRL.com/shelters.
You can get information tonight about how to talk to young people about mental health and substance abuse. The State Department of Health and Human Services is hosting a town hall event on the topic from 6 to 7 tonight. It will stream live on the department's Facebook page. State data shows more than 41,000 people between the ages of 12 and 17 have been through a substance abuse disorder in the past year. Next at noon, escape from a concrete dungeon, how a woman got away from a kidnapper, and what's next for the man accused of holding her captive.
Also, there's some big draws at movie theaters these days. Some things to keep in mind when you go see your favorite flick.
Plus, we know you've noticed gas prices are on the rise. At 12:30, what's behind the surge, now at a 9-month high?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
This morning, federal authorities are investigating an Oregon man who they say kidnapped a woman while posing as a police officer and then held her captive in a makeshift cell at his home. Incredibly, she managed to escape and alert police, who eventually tracked him down. Aaron McLaughlin shares details of this troubling story.
This morning, the FBI making a nationwide appeal for help, identifying any potential victims of this man, 29-year-old suspect Negasi Zaberi.
The disturbing evidence uncovered to date points to an individual's ongoing and escalating pattern of violence targeting women.
On Wednesday, authorities released these chilling photos of a makeshift cell they say Zuberi used to shackle a woman he allegedly kidnapped and sexually assaulted. Authorities say Zuberi's alleged victim escaped hours after being locked in the cinder block cell by punching her way through this metal screen door, leaving her hands bloodied.
Then she ran out into public, flagged down the first vehicle she could find. She knew something bad was going to happen to her.
According to the criminal complaint, Zuberi kidnapped the woman in mid-July after hiring her as a prostitute in Seattle. The court documents say he claimed to be an undercover police officer, even showing her a badge and placing her in handcuffs and leg irons before driving her 450 miles to his residence in Klamath Falls, Oregon. That's where the FBI says it recovered a series of chilling notes, including one called Operation Takeover, that had bullet points including leave phone at home and make sure they don't have a bunch of people in their life. You don't want any type of investigation. A day after the kidnapping and the victim's escape, Zuberi was arrested in Reno, Nevada. The investigation now spanning at least 12 states, where authorities say Zuberi has previously lived using different aliases.
I want to thank the brave women who fought for their lives. Now it is our turn to take their burden and fight for them.
As Aaron McLaughlin reporting, and authorities have not said how they linked Zuberi to the other cases.
Grammy Award-winning star Lizzo says she is hurt by a lawsuit filed against her. On Instagram, she called the allegations false, unbelievable, and outrageous. Three former dancers claimed they were subjected to a hostile work environment and harassment while they were on her dance team. One of the plaintiffs says she was encouraged by Lizzo to touch the new performers at an Amsterdam club while on tour. Another said Lizzo expressed concerns about the dancers' weight gain. The singer added there is nothing she takes more seriously than the respect women deserve in the world. A pharmaceutical company is recalling a birth control pill because it might not work. Lupin is recalling two batches of Tydemi. The company says tests showed the pills had decreased levels of vitamin C, an inactive ingredient, and high levels of a known impurity, and that combination could reduce its effectiveness in preventing pregnancy. Recall batches were distributed between June 3, 2022 and May 31st of this year and have expiration dates of January or September 2024. The company says if you have the recalled pills, keep taking them, but talk to your doctor about an alternative.
Some of the biggest names in Hollywood are doing what they can to help fellow actors during their ongoing labor strike. George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Ben Affleck, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, and many more have each donated to the Screen Actors Guild Foundation and now totals more than $15 million. Now, this comes as the SAG strike enters its third week. So far, there does not appear to be any progress towards a new deal with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. They did, however, ask to meet with the Writers Guild of America, who have been on strike since May. Lionel Messi's electric start to his playing time in the U.S. is showing no signs of slowing down. This is one of two amazing goals Messi scored last night as he led Inter Miami to a 3-1 win over Orlando City. Messi has scored five goals in his first three matches for Miami. FC Dallas will have the next chance to stop him in a matchup on Sunday. Good luck.
A quick reminder, the NFL preseason kicks off tonight on WREL. The New York Jets will take on the Cleveland Browns in Canton, Ohio in the Hall of Fame game. You can watch all the action starting at 7 p.m. Of course, the summer season means that there's a lot of heat and humidity, but we finally get a break from it, and it's lasting for maybe one more day.
We've been enjoying it this week, though. That is for sure in the first week of August. And Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with how long this will last.
You know, one more day. That's all we've got left. But isn't it nice? We're able to talk about football, and we've got this nice, comfortable weather. For now, we're going to be back in the 90s once we get to the end of the weekend and into next week. But for now, things are really comfortable outside. It was beautiful outside. If you were walking this morning, we had temperatures in the 60s, and we should be in the upper 60s tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's high, 79 degrees, and that's more than 10 degrees below normal for this time of year. We're going to be right back near normal, though, as we head into the weekend and lower 90s next week. But, you know, for early August, these numbers really aren't too bad. In Chapel Hill, we've seen some rain today. It's been a light rain, otherwise overcast skies, and the rain will continue to push to the east. It's a light rain that's starting to approach Durham right now. We're also seeing some of that rain close in on Franklin County as well as Warren County. We haven't seen much of the rain around Wake County yet, and the rain may struggle to get here. Most of the lift in the atmosphere is to our west, so to some degree the rain should break up as it spreads to the east. It's just going to be spotty showers today, so it's a low impact rain. There's a chance of spotty showers through the afternoon and evening, but I don't think that it's the kind of rain that's really going to have a big impact on your day or even your drive home from work. Just some light spotty showers possible. And then as we get into the late night hours, we'll leave in a slight chance, but we do see rain chances increase overnight into tomorrow morning. So tomorrow morning, there is about a 60% chance for rain during the morning commute. I think the best chance would be in the southern half of our viewing area. Once we get to the afternoon and evening, a few spotty showers left, but I think the best chance for rain is actually going to end up coming in the morning tomorrow. We'll leave in about a 30 to 40% chance of a storm tomorrow afternoon and evening. But the first half of the day, that's when we've got a 60% chance for rain. Keep that in mind. You may want to hold off on your dog walk until a little bit later on tomorrow. But look at these numbers. Town by town, 76 degrees the high in Roxborough tomorrow. Upper 70s for Durham, Raleigh, Rocky Mount, 79 in Siler City. And just to the south, a little bit closer to 80 for Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro, as as well as Sanford, but it ends up being a cooler day again tomorrow. And a lot of that due to the cloud cover, but some of it due to the rain that we are likely to see early on. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to have a closer look at the forecast. If you're traveling this weekend to the mountains, to the beach, I mean, if it feels just a little bit like fall here, you can only imagine what it's going to feel like in the North Carolina mountains. Looking ahead, once we get past Friday, there's the warm up I was telling you about. But let's talk rain chances this weekend, just 20% Saturday, mainly dry on Sunday. And next week, not looking all that wet by the middle of the week, though. We may have a front approaching that could bring a better chance of a storm. Otherwise, pretty seasonal weather in store. Not a bad start to August, certainly. You know, we had a cooler month for June, a hotter month for July. They kind of evened each other out. So far, we're running pretty close to normal for the summer months.
We knew the 90s would come back, but we'll enjoy the 80s right now. Tens of thousands of tax returns not yet completed by the state. Coming up tonight at 5, Five on Your Side shares resources you can use to get your refund faster.
Then at 6, a quadriplegic man fell out of a bed at a local rehab facility and died. WRL investigates. Here's from his father, who's questioning that center's story. And still ahead this noon, inflation is eroding the confidence Americans have in their retirement savings, the amount some think they'll need to make it through the golden years.
Also, Bud Light is hemorrhaging profits in the wake of the controversy surrounding a social media influencer, the skyrocketing losses caused by the PR crisis.
He's here in the WRL Live Center. Just into the newsroom, Taylor Swift announcing that her Eras Tour is going to continue here in North America. Just a couple of hours ago, she made the announcement on social media. Take a look. The good news for Swifties, more chances to see her here in North America. The bad news for any of us that live here in North Carolina, she's not coming to Charlotte. You can see some of the dates there. Miami, New Orleans, Indianapolis, and Toronto. Plenty of dates there. You have to go through a verified fan registration through Ticketmaster to be able to buy tickets next week. Renee, I'm registered for a couple of those Miami shows.
Road trip to Miami, I guess. Brett, thanks. Taylor Swift thanks the crew of her tour with a surprise bonus. And the IRS ramps up its technology to cut down on paper. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The IRS is launching the next phase of its efforts to eliminate paper. The agency still receives 76 million paper tax returns every year. Add to that another 125 million pieces of paper a year, such as various notices and forms from taxpayers. Starting next tax season, the IRS will offer digital correspondence as it tries to eliminate as many as 200 million pieces of paper a year. Cutting down on paper should speed up how fast you get your refund and help the agency become more efficient overall. Starbucks says millennials and Gen Z's thirst for cold drinks is a big boost for business. Cold drinks now make up 75% of the chain's beverage sales, and the fastest growing customization is cold foam. Starbucks tells Yahoo Finance younger customers are driving the surge in popularity of cold drinks. The chain has even swapped out its ice cubes for ice nuggets due to demand for cold beverages. Starbucks says the nuggets blend faster with the drink. And the truck drivers and crew hauling Taylor Swift's equipment across the U.S. for months just got a big surprise. The pop superstar gave each trucker a $100,000 bonus as she wrapped up the U.S. leg of her Eras Tour. Swift's father made a surprise visit to the truckers for show motion earlier this week. He handed each an envelope with a handwritten note from his daughter, along with a check for $100,000. Some of the stunned crew members thought it was a joke. They generally receive bonuses of $5,000 or $10,000. Wow. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site.
The generosity of Taylor Swift. Americans now believe they need a $1.8 million nest egg for retirement. That's up from $1.7 million last year. A new survey found only 37% of workers think they'll achieve that savings target. Most see inflation as the biggest obstacle to saving.
Price of gas is going in the wrong direction. Why fuel experts say record temperatures may be partly to blame. Plus, it's time for a change. The Treasury Secretary proposes a digital makeover for the IRS. Why some are not on board with that plan. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Here here in the WRL Live Center following breaking news out of Carrboro, where police are investigating a homicide that they say happened at Town Commons. This is the Google Street View of that area off of Main Street in Carrboro. This all happened around 9 o'clock last night, according to Carrboro police. They say a man was stabbed multiple times. He was taken to the hospital, and that's where he later died, at UNC Hospital. Right now, the identity of that victim is being withheld while they notify the next of kin. They are looking, this is an isolated incident, according to Carrboro police. This is brand new information into the police department. We're working to find out if they have any suspects in mind at this time. As soon as we get an update, we'll pass it along.
Thanks, Brett. Gas prices in the U.S. are going back up, with the average now for a regular gallon of fuel is at its highest it's been in 9 months. The summer's record temperatures could be partly to blame for production issues. NBC's Sam Brock has details from South Florida.
This is not the kind of trend Americans wanted to welcome back into their lives. Gas prices rising once again. You might be wondering, what's going on here? It's the middle of summer. A lot of families are taking vacations and road trips, and you might think, well, that's obviously driving up demand. No, if anything, demand has dipped. The reason that we've seen gas prices increase more than a quarter over just the last month largely is because of record-breaking temperatures and what they mean for oil refineries. Those refineries are located largely throughout the South in states like Texas and Louisiana, and they're designed ideally to function up to 95 degrees Fahrenheit. But with this heat wave that we've been talking so much about, we are way above that threshold on some days. That has affected production from the refineries, and there's been a trickle-down effect. In terms of what's going on nationally, the snapshot, $3.82 a gallon. A week ago, that was $3.71. A month ago, that was $3.53. So a dramatic difference. And as for the splits across the country, the most expensive gas is on the West Coast. California has over $5 a gallon at the moment. It's the only state in that rarefied air. Washington close behind, though. And then on the flip side of things, here in the South is the cheapest gas, relatively speaking. States like Alabama and Louisiana, Mississippi as well, about $3.30 to $3.45 a gallon. As we look forward to what the outlook might be, there is some good news, at least, which is that temperatures eventually are going to be scaling back into the fall. That should provide some relief. But the biggest X factor at the moment, likely the hurricane season, as a major storm, is the biggest risk to take more of these oil refineries offline. Also, Saudi production abroad and other OPEC plus countries that have been scaling back a little bit, if that trend continues, it could be problematic as well. In the Florida Keys, Sam Brock, NBC News.
And we did some checking with GasBuddy.com. In Raleigh and Durham, the average for a gallon of regular gas is $3.63. In Fayetteville, it is $3.60 per gallon.
Cameras are going up at three Zebulon parks, and some parents have concerns about that. These signs warn parents about the cameras that they're already up. The cameras will take still photos during open hours and will not be recording video or audio. The director of Parks and Recreation says the cameras will be used for research.
We are utilizing research cameras just for the sole purpose of helping us to understand park use, how often the park is getting used, by how many times of day, days of the week.
Town Commissioner Shannon Baxter says she wishes there had been more communication earlier to address parents' concerns. However, she's looking forward to how the data could improve the parks in the future.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Cumberland, Wayne, and Johnston counties. Happening now in Cumberland County, Emergency Services is holding a training simulation at Westover High School. This exercise is designed to test the agency's response to an active assailant situation. If you drive past there, don't be alarmed at the many fire, rescue, and law enforcement agencies at the school until 5 p.m. Dozens of high school and college students have completed the Wayne County Summer Youth Employment Program. This marks the second year this innovative program has offered paid work opportunities for high school and college students. The county partnered with Wayne Community College to train interns once a week on skills like how to interview, write a resume, speak in public, and budget their personal finances. The Johnston County Library is looking a little more colorful today after our Chalk the Block with Kindness event. Look at this. Kids left colorful messages for visitors entering the children's department. Each family was assigned a block of sidewalk to decorate. The only stipulation was to encourage kindness.
Get ready for the biggest changes in America's tax filing system in decades. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced a new program that will transition to fully paperless processing of all tax returns by 2025. Edward Lawrence reports. Not everyone is on board with this upgrade.
The IRS wants to make it easier for you to file your taxes by embracing a digital future. A new plan called Paperless Processing was announced by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Wednesday. It calls for the agency to allow taxpayers to directly submit documents and correspondence digitally by 2024. And by 2025, all paper returns, documents, and letters to the IRS will be digitized.
It will enable taxpayers to see their documents, securely access their data, and save time and money.
If all goes well, the IRS estimates 94% of taxpayers will never have to send another piece of mail to the agency. It's part of a broader push to improve technology as a way of boosting customer service and winning over a skeptical public.
We are in the process of transforming the IRS into a digital-first agency. This paperless processing initiative is the key that unlocks other customer service improvements.
But some Republicans on Capitol Hill are vowing to cut funding for these initiatives, saying they'll be used to target low-income taxpayers with more audits. Yellen pushing back on those claims, saying she's going after the big fish.
The focus of our enforcement efforts is on peeling back the structures of large corporations, complex partnerships, and other high-income and high-wealth taxpayers to make sure they are paying their full bill.
That was Edward Lawrence reporting. The IRS says it's working on a plan to allow taxpayers to file directly with the agency without going through a tax professional.
Now's the time to start getting your kids back into a routine for school. The best way to help them transition for a strong start to the new school year.
And why more and more employers are dropping two popular weight loss drugs from their insurance coverage.
We offer this live look this noon right now, Rocky Mount, as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Might be getting a couple raindrops there. You can expect those around the area in the afternoon. Transitioning from a laid-back summer schedule to the structure of a new school year doesn't have to be a rude awakening. Now's the time to start adjusting your child's schedule. One way to help make the transition a little smoother is to give your family time to ease into the new routine. Now, try taking a week or so before school starts to help kids start adjusting to waking up earlier, getting ready, and having breakfast as soon as they get up.
Kids need to learn that they can handle change. Having a routine is good. Learning that you can handle life not following that routine is equally good.
And the biggest piece of advice experts say for parents, don't stress if things don't go as exactly as planned.
A core principle for parenthood. More sleep on the weekends could be hurting your gut health. A recent study by nutritionists found that irregular sleep patterns may increase gut bacteria that would be linked to obesity, diabetes, inflammation, and heart problems. Researchers say sleeping in for 90 minutes longer on the weekends can disrupt your body's internal clock. Scientists recommend having regular sleep patterns in order to maintain a healthy gut. Employers are cutting off access to some expensive weight loss drugs. Treatments of Ozempic and Wegovy can cost more than $1,300 a month. Some employers are cutting off insurance coverage because of the expense. Demand for the medications has risen so fast that Novo Nordisk, which makes those treatments, has not been able to produce enough.
Much of the country has been baking during this extreme summer heat, but scientists are revealing a product that can reflect the sun's rays back into space. We'll explain how the so-called world's whitest paint works.
And an ancient whale tips the scales, becoming the world's largest animal to ever live. Where it was discovered and how much archaeologists think it weighs. The Bud Light controversy in the U.S. has cost its parent company nearly $400 million. America's former longtime number one beer has been hit by a backlash from right-wing media and anti-trans commentators since April. The brewer sent transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney a custom can of Bud Light. Mulvaney posted it on Instagram, which turned into a sales fiasco for the brand. After her post, some anti-trans critics threw away their cans of beer and called for a boycott. Two of the biggest films of the summer are attracting more people to movie theaters, but some moviegoers are bringing some bad behavior along with them. Some of them are using their phones during screenings of the Barbie and Oppenheimer films. Many attendees are reportedly scrolling on their phone during what they might consider dull or slower moments of the movies. Some are even going as far as taking pictures with the flash on and then posting those images to social media.
Last month marked the hottest month on record, but hope could be on the horizon. Researchers say a new kind of paint can make buildings and cars reflect greater amounts of sunlight, making them cooler, all while reducing energy consumption rates. Kevin Cork takes a closer look.
It's no doubt that this summer has been hot, hot, hot.
We call them the dog days.
Now, a new study from the science nonprofit group Climate Central reveals human-caused climate change made temperatures in July hotter for 4 out of 5 people around the world.
Oppressive.
But scientists at Purdue University say they have a solution to help keep you cooler, revealing what's being called the world's whitest paint that can reflect massive amounts of sun rays right back into space.
It can reflect 98.1% of sunlight, so that's really high.
This special paint is made from an ingredient called barium sulfate, which is more widely available than ingredients used in other sun-reflecting paints. Because of this, researchers say their product will be more cost-effective for mass production, adding it can be used to paint structures and even vehicles to help keep them cooler.
We only absorb 1.9% of the sunlight. So you can see that's a factor of 5 to 10 times reduction compared to the 10 to 20% absorption of the commercial white paint.
The paint can keep outdoor surfaces roughly 8 degrees cooler than ambient air temperatures during bouts of strong sunlight in the afternoon. Researchers say this can reduce the frequency people will need air conditioning.
That was Kevin Cork reporting, and this team hopes to continue testing and have the paint ready for commercial use in about a year. So you can paint your whole house with that white and blind the whole neighborhood.
Well, and wouldn't it be something if all future buildings and cars are in that white paint because they're trying to, you know, deflect the heat? That might be a thing. We wipe out color. But we're seeing a lot of green on the dual Doppler radar right now. Kat, where are those showers?
We're seeing the showers just slowly slide to the east, and the rain has arrived now in Durham. It's starting to push closer to the airport RTP at this hour for lunchtime. If you're headed to lunch, keep in mind you want to bring an umbrella with you or something, you know, a rain jacket with the hood, something like that. This is very light rain that we're tracking, mainly north and west of I-85. We're seeing the rain filling in, though, around Jordan Lake, and it's headed for Wake County right now. Just a few spotty showers off to the east. This is light rain for us, but it's holding down temperatures as well with the overcast. 76 degrees in Durham. You have to look really, really close, but there are some raindrops there on the lens at the DBAP. Looking beautiful at the WRL Gardens with our crepe myrtles. 76 degrees right now. I know the gardens will appreciate a nice little drink of water today. And in Fayetteville, 80 degrees, one of our warmer spots and warm for August. I mean, these numbers are quite comfortable. 80, the high in Durham today, 82 in Raleigh, 77 in Roxboro, 85 in Wilson, 78 for Siler City, 85 in Fayetteville and Smithfield, and 81 degrees in Sanford. You will have to dodge some of the rain, but let's talk about the mountains forecast, because if you love fall weather, the mountains are going to be the place to be. Today, the high in Boone is just 67 degrees with the rain. Really a taste of fall there. In Asheville tomorrow, 83, 74 in Boone, and 68 in Grandfather Mountain there. We are expecting quite a range of temperatures across the mountains from north to south. But as we get into Saturday, rain chances a bit lower in the mountains and temperatures recover back into the low to mid 80s. If you're headed east tomorrow to spend your weekend at the coast, high temperatures will be in the low to mid 80s, but there will be a better chance of rain and storms. So just keep that in mind. Maybe think of an indoor backup plan. And if you want to visit some of the local shops, pick up some ice cream, something like that. Saturday will be better. High temperatures back in the mid 80s. We will have the potential for some showers and storms, but I wouldn't expect it to have as much of an impact on your day. Carolina Beach looking busy today. You can see a lot of people already out there and a lot of people in the water today. It's really nice. At least the ocean water is going to be pretty nice despite the cooler air temperatures. We're not going to see much of a change of the ocean temperatures. If you do need to head out for a dog walk today, it's just going to be some light showers that you're going to be dodging on and off throughout the day. It should be pretty low impact out there. I don't think that you'll be soaking wet or anything like that. Once we get past today and tomorrow's cooler temperatures, we are likely to see our highs rebound for the weekend. Right back close to normal, upper 80s to lower 90s, just 20% rain chances this weekend. As we head into next week, highs stay in the lower 90s. We have some small rain chances. It looks like by the middle of next week, we could have a front approach, but really not looking like a bad 7-day forecast for August.
Not too shabby. All right, Kat, thanks. If you need a side gig, if you're in the market for a part-time job, you could make nearly $18,000 in 1 month just by playing Uno. We'll lay out the rules for the application after the break.
First, here's a look at the winning Powerball numbers. 23, 24, 33, 51, 64. The Powerball is 5 and the Power Play is 2.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A memorial balloon release in Fayetteville ended in gunfire with one person shot and a car in a swimming pool. It all played out at Seabrook Park on Slater Avenue. A witness told WRAL they were talking after the balloon release when someone started waving a gun and then jumped into a car and started shooting at the crowd.
U.S. Representative Dan Bishop is ready to leave Washington. Bishop announced this morning that he will launch a campaign for attorney general in 2024. The position is up for grabs. Current Attorney General Josh Stein is running for governor. Bishop has been a congressman from North Carolina since 2019.
In just a few hours, former President Donald Trump is scheduled to be arraigned on 4 federal charges related to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump is expected to arrive at the D.C. airport at 3, and the court appearance is set to happen at 4 this afternoon. WRL-TV will carry the arraignment live, and you can get updates online at WRL.com or on our app.
If you love playing Uno, you have a chance to turn your skills into serious cash. Mattel is searching for a chief Uno player to introduce fans to its new Uno Quattro card game. The person in the role will be responsible for playing the game for 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, for 4 weeks. This part-time employee will work out of New York City and be paid $4,444 a week to play and teach the new rules to fans. Get it? Lots of numero cuatros. You have until August 10th to apply. The blue whale might lose its crown as the heaviest animal in history. So this comes after fossils of another massive marine mammal were recently discovered in Peruvian deserts. The Perucetus colossus, which has been extinct for centuries, may have tipped the scales at about 750,000 pounds. That's about 30 empty semi-trucks. Researchers in Italy involved with the dig admit they didn't have a full skeleton and that more fossils are needed before a better weight estimate is given.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. This is Lark, a 6-year-old neutered male cat, super soft fur and an adorable speckled nose. Lark is a friendly, outgoing guy who can't wait to find a family. Can you believe he was actually found as a stray out in the country? He is clearly destined to have a family. Notice his slightly crossed eyes as well. Gives him a unique look, just makes him that much cuter. Help clear the shelters by adopting Lark with a 50% reduced adoption fee. And for more information, visit spcawake.org. Another $10 million will go towards revitalizing Durham's Haytai community. Ahead on our news at 4, the new development that could come to the area and what people living nearby are saying about it.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes, and you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app.
And we leave you this noon with a look at the media that has gathered outside the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C., and a look at the motorcade getting ready to depart, waiting for former President Trump, expected to be arraigned on 4 federal counts. WRO-TV will carry that arraignment live.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.